To the Baptist Bible Hour. I'm Lasair Bradley Jr., and I'm glad you've joined us on this, the first day of the new year. We hope you'll stay tuned as we'll share several hymns with you today and look at some portions of the Word of God. We want to begin with a hymn from the good old songs, better known as the Casey Book, number 6 in that book, called The Blissful Hope. The words go like this. Hail, sweetest, dearest tie that binds our glowing hearts in one. Hail, sacred hope that tunes our minds to harmony divine. It is the hope, the blissful hope, which Jesus' grace has given. The hope when days and years are past, we all shall meet in heaven.
Hail, sweetest, dearest.
When we go through the transition from one year to another, there is a tendency to look back, and I think there is some profit in that. Now, if we look back to the point that we are trying to live in the past, or we're overwhelmed with sorrow because of difficulties and afflictions that we have endured, it's not going to be a profitable experience. But if we're looking back that we might learn, there can be some great benefit. In the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, the prophet Jeremiah was describing his experience in very vivid terms. He was talking about a time of affliction, a time of darkness, a time of great trouble. He said in the 12th verse, "He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow." The arrows of affliction had struck the prophet. He felt to be the very target. God had set him as a mark for the arrow. He says, "I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I have forgot prosperity." Now, there's a man that indeed is struggling in the darkness. He's forgotten what it was like to have better times. He can no longer remember the days of prosperity. He feels that his soul is far removed from peace, and finally says in the 18th verse, "My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord." He hits the bottom here. Come to the end of my way, he says. I just have no more hope. Now, this is the sad plight of multitudes today. There are people who look at the way they're traveling, and they see no relief from the burdens that are pressing them down. They see no bright tomorrows. They see no light at the end. They would indeed concur with the thoughts here expressed, "My hope is perished from the Lord." Well, as we look back, we no doubt can all see trials and afflictions, not only in the year past, but in various seasons of our lives. But what a difference it makes when we come to understand that God uses these trials as a learning experience. Oh, yes, they're painful at the time. That's what affliction means. It's pressure. It's something that bears down upon us. It's a very uncomfortable situation. And yet, if it were not for the troubles and trials that we encounter, we'd become very sufficient and very much satisfied just to stay right here upon this earth and be involved in the worldliness that's so prevalent about us. But when trials come, it causes us to realize how weak and frail we are and how much we need the Lord. He burns from us that love for self and for sin and draws us to a closer walk and communion with Him. Now, when a person is in such darkness, though, that they are overwhelmed and they are unable to see that there is any benefit in their troubles, they fail to realize the wonderful promises of God, such as Romans 8:28, that says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them which are the called according to His purpose." They've lost sight of that. They've come to the point of the prophet here to say, "My hope is perished." He goes on to say in verse 19, "Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me." But here's what we want to get to. And let me say just before reading this next verse, if I am talking to somebody today who's saying, "Well, I know, preacher, here on the first day of the new year, I ought to have an optimistic outlook. I ought to be excited about the days before me. But frankly, the year just ended has been such a difficult one. The trials of my life are so severe and so great at the moment, I just have lost hope." Let me point you to the wonderful truth of this passage of Scripture and remind you that you're not traveling a trail that nobody else has ever explored. Long before you were ever going in this way of difficulty, Jeremiah, David, Asaph, others of the writers of the sacred writ were also traveling in the same path. Now, verse 21. "This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope." Right in the midst of my troubles, says the prophet, I remembered something. And here's where it's extremely profitable to look back. Not looking back to relive all the heartaches of the past, but looking back that we might remember, verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." In the midst of all of his trouble and misery, when Jeremiah had come literally to the end of himself, when he had hit bottom and said, "I have no hope, my hope is perished," God's grace intervened, and he remembered something. He began to ponder the whole situation and said, "Well, how did I get where I am anyway? How did I make it this far?" And he had to remember that it was of the Lord's mercies. Now he could look back and see, here was a dark day. Here was a great trial. Here was some difficulties he thought he could never survive, but he did. How did he get through all of those? Well, it was of the Lord's mercies. God's mercy is never ending. How wonderful is His grace. How wonderful are His promises, that He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us, that we might boldly say, "The Lord is our helper." It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And here a man who had gone all the way to the bottom goes clear to the top. He'd been down to the point of feeling like his hope was perished, Now he's rejoicing and says, the compassions of God fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It's because of the faithfulness of God I've made it through all of the tribulations of days gone by. It's because of the mercy of God that I am where I am today, and my hope is in Him, and therefore I can rejoice. That thought, we want now to share with you number 455 in the old school hymnal, The Awakening Chorus. Wonderful theme, proclaim His sovereign power to all the world, and let His glorious banner be unfurled. Jehovah reigns. Yes, the God that we worship is the sovereign ruler of heaven and earth, and how wonderful to know as we begin this new year that He's on the throne and always will be, and our hope and confidence is in Him. Perhaps you're listening to this program for the first time. You're in tune with the Baptist Bible Hour, heard on this station at this same time each day, and I hope that you'll be listening on a regular basis. I encourage all of you to write us and let us know that you're listening. Our mailing address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Tapes of the radio programs are always available. And we have a publication that we send out once each month with messages and articles that we believe will help you in your study of the Word of God. And if you'd like to receive a sample copy of that, you may write us or you can call 1-800-4734-BBH. That's 1-800-4734-BBH. Having talked a little bit about what it means to look back and to rejoice in the mercies of God, knowing that it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, let's think a little bit about looking ahead now in this new year. This is a time that a lot of people are making resolutions, and sad to say that even the best ones are quickly forgotten. And yet, it should be a time for us to take note of the fact that our lives are fragile at best, and that no matter how much time that we have yet upon this earth, that our days are but few, and we need to redeem the time and use it to the best purposes, and that is to the glory and honor of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we're living in a day that when people begin to look forward, often they're looking with great apprehension, wondering, what are we going to face? What does the future hold? In this time of evil, in a time when so many are moving away from the fundamental truths of the Word of God, and some denying His very existence, say, what's going to happen to us anyway? We see the violence in the world, the immorality in this land, and so there's great question about what the future holds. And the only way that we can have confidence and hope and courage is to fix our eyes upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, remembering that He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's been our hope in the past. He's our hope for the present. He's our hope for the future. Knowing that He reigns, that He is one with all power and authority, gives us tremendous hope. And as we try to apply the teachings of His Word to our life, dealing with the challenges, the problems, the difficulties that we may encounter in the days ahead, we need to put tremendous emphasis on being involved in the study of His Word. We're going to gain so much information that will be a benefit. We're going to be able to receive great joy and blessing in the promises that are there. And if we neglect His Word, we're going to be spiritually anemic. We're just not going to have the strength that we need. And so sometimes people are complaining, I just don't know what's the matter with me. I don't have the same joy. I don't have the same outlook and hope and anticipation that I once had. And yet you begin to inquire, well, they admit, I've been so very busy, I haven't spent the time in the Word of God that I once spent there. Now, you that listen regularly know that I refer quite a bit to Psalm 119. The longest of all the Psalms, and such a marvelous passage of Scripture that gives us insight as to the benefit and value of the Word of God. And if there's ever been a time that God's people need to commit themselves to greater study of His Word and meditation upon His precepts, it's in this time in which we're living. Now, of course, gospel ministers are called to preach the Word, to be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And a person who doesn't avail themselves of the opportunity of hearing the pastor-teacher proclaim the Word of God is missing out on one of the great benefits the Lord has provided His people. But that in itself is not enough. There needs to be the personal study on the part of every child of God so that they come to meditate on God's truth. Let's look at Psalm 119 and the 133rd verse. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. What an appropriate prayer for the first day of this new year. Order my steps in thy word. Too many times people are basing life's decisions on what they feel, some hunch that they have, something that they consider to be an impression that may not have anything to do with God's truth at all. If our life is going to bring honor and praise to Jesus Christ, if it's going to be correctly directed, we're going to be thinking like we ought to think, acting like we ought to act, responding to life's problems and difficulties like we ought to respond, we're going to have to understand something of what God says in His Word. God has spoken to us through men, moved upon by the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures given us by inspiration. They're breathed out of God. They're God's truth. They're God's message. The Bible's the only book that God has given us. You know, somebody will come along and say, well, God gave this special revelation to this man or this woman, and we've got another book that'll help you understand the Bible. My friends, God only has one book. That's the Bible. That's to be our authority. That's the place we've got to turn for the information we need. So as we're praying for divine direction, praying for the Lord to give us insight and understanding about how to deal with the problems of life, what kind of an attitude we ought to have, how active and involved we ought to be in His kingdom service, where are we going to get the light we need? We're going to get it from His Word. So what's the prayer? Order my steps in Thy Word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Certainly our desire should be to live a righteous, godly life to the praise of our Savior, letting not any iniquity have dominion over us. And so the prayer must be, order my steps according to Thy Word. Verse 105 says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's going to give us the light that we know how to travel, the understanding that's going to be of great benefit on a daily basis. Look at verse 159. Consider how I love Thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to Thy loving kindness. And we say of a truth today that we love the precepts of God. We love His Word. Test might be given by asking ourselves, how much time do we really spend in the Word? Do we spend more time reading books, looking at TV, looking at a video, or spending time in some other pursuit than we do in the Word of God? If we really love His Word, we're going to spend some time with Him. And His prayer is, quicken me, enliven me, Lord, according to Thy loving kindness. How many times people today become so complacent, and there's something of a coldness about even their spiritual enterprises. My friends, may we pray, Lord, revive us, stir our hearts, apply Thy Word, that we may be excited about doing the things that Thou hast enjoined us to do. Verse 174 says, I have longed for Thy salvation, O Lord, and Thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise Thee, and let Thy judgments help me. If then we are quickened, if we're enlivened, if we're revived, we want to praise the Lord. Praise Him for His goodness. Praise Him for past mercies. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Great is Thy faithfulness. Praise Him for the blessings of this day. Praise Him because of who He is. Praise Him because of His sovereign grace. Praise Him because of the greatest of all gifts. He's given us His Son, Jesus Christ. Praise Him for the good news of the gospel that cheers the heart of the burdened sinner and enables him to understand, my salvation is not in myself, it's alone in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With those thoughts, let's hear now a wonderful hymn called At Calvary, by a group of guest singers, the Charity Christian Fellowship.
Oh!
That's an uplifting hymn to sing on this New Year's Day. And may the truth of the third verse spring from every heart as he says, "Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King." If we can say that in sincerity, that we acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord of our life, and in the days that are before us in this new year, that above everything else, we want to serve and honor Him. My, what a difference that can make. Well, it's been a joy to be with you today. I hope you'll be listening each day. Tomorrow and the day following, we'll be bringing a message simply entitled Remember, as we continue something of the theme of looking back and looking forward in this new year. Our mailing address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Please write and mention the call letters of the station over which you have heard the program. We'd be glad to send you a sample copy of our publication that we send out each month with copies of messages and articles and a complete schedule of all of the stations carrying the program. Anytime you're interested in obtaining a cassette of a particular broadcast, they're available for $4 each. If you prefer to call, the number is 1-800-4734-BBH. And now, until we greet you at the same time tomorrow, this is Lasser Bradley, Jr. bidding you goodbye.